Hey, well, please come to order. It's 5 minutes after 8. Would you please call the roll?
Representative Keller.
Here.
Representative Greenberg.
Here.
Representative Peterson.
Present.
74.
Representative Johansson.
Here.
Representative P. Wilson.
Here.
Representative
Seaton. Here.
Okay. Chair Lynn.
Here. Okay, thank you, everybody. Today we're going to hear HB 74, which is information on matters involving the election pamphlet. HB 4 was on the schedule, but we're not going to hear that today. Hold it over, perhaps for another time. So with that, we have a CS for House Bill 74. I would appreciate a motion with the CS.
Yeah, I move that we make the CS for House Bill 74 version LS0008 uniform as the working document.
Any without objection, we've adopted the CS. Would you like to speak?
Thank you, Mr.
Chairman. You tell the difference between, since we've already adopted, but we'll tell us anyway.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here in person.
And we're very glad. You're a very valuable part of this committee and the other committees in which I serve with you on, as well as the entire legislature.
Thank you. I did watch you guys and saw that you were doing a good job, better than when I'm here. I wanted to thank you again. Yeah, thank you. And Ted Madsen, my assistant. Ted, why don't you come on up to the seat there? He'll answer some questions, too. And as I understand it, Mr. Chair, last time you adopted the O is an Oscar CS. And as a result of much of the testimony last Thursday, we have prepared the U as in uniform version. This is dated 2/21. The other one was dated 2/16. And I'd like very briefly, for the record, to explain the differences between the two versions and to offer an amendment that I think will just help a little bit stylistically. There are 7 differences between the uniform and the Oscar version. First of all, in view of the comments from Representative Seaton and others, the date for submission of material for the general election pamphlet is the day following the primary election rather than July 22nd. And the members can see the differences. If they look at the Oscar version, the original date was on page 3, lines 23 to 24, and the new dates are on page 3, lines 24 to 26. In the uniform version. Secondly, the date for submission of material for the primary election pamphlet is June the 2nd rather than June the 1st. And we should look to page 3, line 30 of the Oscar version, contrasting it to the new version, uniform, page 4, line 1. And Ms. Finumi, I talked with Mr. Madsen, and those were the latest dates that the Division of Election could comfortably accommodate make it a little easier for the candidates. We'll now be submitting information both for the primary and the general election if they desire. The third change, Mr. Chair, the date for submission of material for a special election has been clarified to be a date set by the Lieutenant Governor, because we can't determine when special elections will be. They could be called at any time. And that now appears in the uniform version, page 4, lines 1 to 2. Now, the next, a new section 9, and section 9 is on page 5, lines 11 through 14, if the members would turn to that. That's new. And that requires that the report on state public debt created under AS 3707045 be published on the state website. And there has been no requirement up to this point that the report on state public debt be published on the website. And we felt in line with the public disclosure policy behind the bill, it would be a good idea to publish that on the website. And as I recall, that has necessitated a change on the title, and that's on page 1, lines 4 to 5. The next change, the word primary was deleted from section 10. It's now section 11. This appeared on page 5, line 9 of the O version, which is now page 6, line 4 of the uniform version. And if the member would look at that word on page 5, line, excuse me, page 5, line 29 of the O version. We had added that before a primary election, the bond issue committee shall publish a notice, and that's because bonds do not appear on the primary election. And I think that may have been pointed out by Representative Keller or somebody here. I don't remember whom. The next, the phrase, quote, and other, was deleted from section 10 on line 6, page 6 of the O version, which is now page 6, line 12 of the U version. And the reason is because the disclosure is of general obligation bonds. Not all other bonded indebtedness is set out. We simply are going to be referencing the state's website, and people can look at the other indebtedness to find that and get the bond report. And then a new paragraph 7 was added to section 11 of the bill of the uniform version to include a reference to and the internet address of the public debt report, which is provided for, as I mentioned before, in AS 3707-045. And that is in section 11 of the uniform version, and that is on page 6. And that's important because we've got numbers of types of bonded indebtedness, and we can't put everything into the election pamphlet, but what we do is reference where the pamphlet is on the web. So the members will be able, the voters will look in their election pamphlet and see the reference to the bonded indebtedness. And we thought that's an additional important disclosure. For the record, those are the changes we've made in the version, in the uniform version. And I would like to, before we proceed further, with your permission, Mr. Chair, offer an amendment to clarify something we have that should have been put in here, and I just didn't catch it.
Yeah, move the amendment.
Okay. It's the amendment U.1, and I'd like that labeled amendment number 1, Mr. Chair, and that is to page 3, line 18.
Okay. I object for discussion purposes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It reorders the sentences in section 4 to make them chronological. As you could see in the text itself of the bill, they start out talking about the general election, and then they talk about the primary election. Of course, the primary appears first, and so we thought this should go chronologically. And that's all it does. There's no substantive change. Ask unanimous consent for Amendment 1.
Okay. Any objection? I remove my objection. Amendment number 1 passes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That completes my presentation.
Okay, thank you. Representative Keller, did you have something here you wanted to discuss?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I do not intend to offer any amendments, but I learned in the process of this bill, and I asked some questions of legal services, so I provided the committee with their responses. I actually just got them myself. But one of them had to do whether or not we could include the idea of unfunded liabilities with bonded debt, and the our attorney pointed out the difficulties that were related to that. You'll see that in the letter that you have in front of you. And what was the other one? I was just asking.
Which elections?
Yeah, I was just on the question of geo bonds, which election, whether that's general or primary. I just asked a question, can they now be, offered in a primary? And I have not fully read the response, but I wanted to make sure the committee had the information in front of you.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Grunberg.
We just late last night received another legal opinion that I haven't had a chance. Ted, why don't you just make copies of this and we'll give it out to the members.
This one.
To Grun. No, that's to Wes. This is to me. So this is the third, and we'll give. And I really haven't had a chance to read it myself. I don't know exactly what it says, but I'd like to thank Representative Keller. He's a good guy and good to work with on this. And we had a good conversation in the stairwell on the bill yesterday.
Well, a lot of business is done.
Oh, yeah, that and down the hall, frankly.
He didn't have his tomatoes.
The idea that Representative Keller was concerned about is very, very valid and a concern to a lot of Alaskans and a lot of Americans, as we've learned in the last election, and that is the amount of indebtedness in this state and in this country. And I, too, am concerned, and I'd like that on the record. And we're talking about TRS and PERS and things like that. For the viewers, that's Employees Retirement.
Yeah, but don't use acronyms.
No, I don't want to do that. And Teachers Retirement System, the retirement indebtedness. Unfortunately, there's so broad, we can't put everything in the election pamphlet. But I fully support full disclosure. And if there's a way to do it, and I committed to my friend from the Valley that if he did some legislation on this, I would look on that favorably and be happy to work with him on it. And I just asked him not to do it on this bill because it just got too far. And I really want to get this information out to the public. And I appreciate him not offering the amendment. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Seaton.
Thank you. On the... on the memorandum of February 21st, that was to Representative Keller, seems to be that the recommendation is on the second page, I would recommend removing the word primary for consistency between the applicable statutes. And I would just like to ask the sponsor of the legislation, because that's what we brought up at the last meeting, has the word primary been removed from the U version?
As I understand it, it has, and that was...
Jenny Grunberg, go ahead.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. If the members would recall, I mentioned the phrase, quote, and other, was deleted from Section 10. That was on page 6, line 6 of the Oscar version. And you can see, looking on page 6, line 12 of the uniform version, the phrase... Wait a minute. I apologize. Can we stand at ease for a second, please?
At ease.
What's this?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Grunberg.
Alpheus Bullard, Mr. Bullard, sir, through the chair, are you on the line? If you are, please identify yourself and the organization you represent, and I'd like to ask you a few questions.
Good morning. For the record, this is Alpheus Bullard of Legislature. Yes, I am on the line.
Thank you. Yeah. Representative Grunberg.
Representative Seaton was referring to your memo to Representative Keller, dated February 21, and you have two memos of that date. And we're talking about the longer one, which is the subject amendment T.1 for HB 74, which has not been offered. We're looking at page 2, and the question is that Representative, and I hope you correct me if I'm wrong, Representative Seaton, on the top of page 2, the inclusion of the word primary in section 10 does not serve to alter the elections at which the GO bond may appear. It requires a state bond committee to prepare a notice for inclusion in the election pamphlet if a GO bond is offered for ratification on the primary ballot. However, given the language of AS 15.15.03011, I would recommend removing the word primary, which was underlined on line 29, for consistency between the applicable statutes. And it looks to me like Section 10 no longer deals with AS 37.15.015. Okay, that is now. Mr. Bullard, you correct me if I'm wrong. We should look at page 6, section 11 in the new bill. Let's turn to page 6, line 3 in the new bill, the uniform version.
Page 6, line
3. Four. I'm sorry, line 4, thanks.
Line 4.
We have indeed removed the word primary. Do you see there, Representative Seaton, where I'm talking about? It's here. It's primary no longer appears there. And I think the answer is you have done that. You have removed that word. Is that not correct, Mr. Bullard?
Through the chair, Representatives Grunberg and Seaton, yes, that word is removed, section 11 in the uniform.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Did that answer your concern, Representative
Seaton? It did. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And just for your information, and Mr. Bullard, I'm sorry, I just got your memo late last night to meet. The bill goes to finance next. And I will take a look at this and any other questions anybody has for finance and all the other committees this goes to, and I'll try to accommodate anything I can.
Okay. Did you have a question, Representative Wilson?
Well, and this might have been what you were talking about with Wes, so I'm not sure. But in the February 21st memorandum to Wes. The last paragraph, the last line, it says, I would recommend you consult with the department as to whether the preparation of such a report is within the department's capabilities. In other words, this went into whether they the department would be the best source for the accounting of the state's unfunded liability. And he's just concerned about where they should be getting their information because that's not their expertise, of course.
To the
Representative Grunberg.
Representative Keller is not going to offer the amendment for, quote, unfunded liability.
That's what I was wondering. But it's something that we still need to be thinking about.
Absolutely, Mr. Chair.
This might be the subject of another bill.
Absolutely. And I have committed to work with Representative Keller and anybody else who's concerned, because I am too.
Representative Wilson.
So is there going to be another bill? What my concern is that we pass this without I realize that you don't want to deal with it now. But we have to have it dealt with before this goes into effect, or this is going to leave this question up in the air.
Through the chair.
Representative Grunberg.
I would say that the complete disclosure and bringing together that information is going to take a little bit of work. And I would like to do it, but I don't want to delay this bill because of that. And I will and have and will continue to commit to work with anybody who's interested, Representative Keller, yourself, but I would hope that we don't delay this bill because that's going to take some work.
Well, the trouble is, of course, that any time you add things to a bill, it makes it that much more difficult to pass. I think we need that in the election pamphlet, but it is a totally different subject from what this bill. This bill is about being able to put your candidate statement and information, make that available to the constituency at the primary election as well as the general election. And although I think the idea of putting unfunded liability in that election pamphlet is a very, very good idea for all the reasons we've discussed here, it's not quite the same as the candidate statements and candidate information. Am I correct?
Yes, you are, Mr. Chair. If we can craft such an amendment as the bill moves through the process, I will be happy to work with Representative Keller, Wilson, and anybody else, but I just don't want to delay the process in a 90-day session.
Follow-up.
Representative Wilson.
I understand that, and I'm not trying to do that. So did you take any reference to that out of this bill then?
Through the chair. It never was in.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That was a suggestion that Representative Keller made, and we talked about it yesterday for the first time. I'm sorry, it was the first time I was back.
I missed that part of the meeting because I was with leadership, and so I didn't catch that. So I'm sorry, too. And that's fine, then.
Good.
Yeah. But it's a good idea. I hope we can do it.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you. Is Mr. Bullard still on?
Mr. Bullard, are you there?
Through the chair, yeah, I am.
Yeah, Representative Seaton has a query.
Thank you. I'm reading the February 21 memorandum that you sent to Representative Gruenberg, and I noticed that it does relate to work order O and not U. But I notice on your third paragraph you say that the language is likely to be interpreted as including more than general obligation, bond, indebtedness. And so I'm curious as to whether the uniform version still has this provision in there that is going to have to be interpreted as much broader than general obligation, bond, indebtedness for the report, and that concerns me. So can you, I mean, we just got these in front of us now, so we're having to deal with them on a, you know, kind of unanalyzed basis. So if you could kind of lead me through that as to whether this has been cleared up in the U version so that the information is only going to be the general obligation, bond, indebtedness, and not other factors, or we need to make a change. Thank you.
Representative Seaton, through the chair, are we speaking of the February 21st memo to Representative Wes Keller or the February 21st memo to Representative Gruenberg?
Representative Gruenberg.
The language relating to the GO bonds and the total bonded indebtedness remains. It's on page, if we're looking at the uniform version, it's
yes.
On page 6, lines 12 and 13.
So then I guess what I'm seeing from your memo, if I may, Mr. Chairman, is that this language that we have in here currently would require other bonded indebtedness?
No.
Forgive me. Through the chair, Representative Seaton, the relevant language is at 12 and 13, but the words and other are removed.
Mr. Chair?
So,
I'm trying to find that.
If I might follow up, Mr. Chairman, so the memo that you have to us here is
this was removed.
Going to be stating that it'll be clear that when the department needs to prepare its statement, it will only include general bonded indebtedness, and there won't be a decision that needs to be made as to what to include. Is that correct? In the U version.
Representative, speak through the chair, that is correct. But it's quite clear now that it's just the general current obligation box.
Thank
Governor
you.
Gruenberg.
If the members would look at the Oscar version on page 6, line 6, and contrast it with the uniform version, page 6, line 12, the Oscar version said the current, quote, general obligation and other bonded indebtedness. And he has removed the phrase, quote, and other in the uniform version, page 6, line 12. And Mr. Bullard did that specifically after a telephone conversation. I was in the hospital and we talked. Ted was on the phone, the three of us, and we specifically agreed that the phrase and other would be removed from this version for exactly that reason.
Representative Seaton?
Thank you. I had my answer. I want to make sure that the memorandum is taken care of and that we have exactly what we are in.
So we're okay on that?
I'm okay on that.
Great. Representative Peterson, you had a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm looking at the very first line on page 4.
Page 4.
And when we talked about this bill in the previous meeting, we had bandied about the date of somewhere around June 8th, a week after the filing deadline, to give candidates a little bit of time to get their photograph and biographical information together. And I just happen to think that sometimes the filing deadline falls on a weekend and it's pushed forward to the next official working day, which could be maybe June 3rd. And we've got the date as June 2nd for being the last date that information could be accepted. And so people actually would still be able to file for office and would already be past the deadline to get the information. So I was wondering, do we need to make an adjustment on that, or I was going to ask the sponsor if you got, what do you think about that?
Mr. Fenumia, could you help us with that portion, please?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Gail Fenumia from the Division of Elections. Through the chair, Representative Peterson is correct. I mean, if the filing deadline does fall on a Saturday, it's my understanding that it is pushed to the next working business day.
Same with Sunday.
Exactly.
Or holiday.
Or a state or federal holiday, correct. So it would be my belief that if the filing deadline falls on a Saturday, candidates would have until that close at 5 p.m. the following Monday to file for office. And the same would be then for their pamphlet materials. So perhaps it should say the day following the filing deadline. And then I believe that the same situation would occur. Like if the filing deadline fell to a Monday, because you might want to talk to Alpheus about this as well. If the filing deadline was on a weekend and it was pushed to Monday, that the candidacy paperwork would then be in the day following that extended deadline due to the weekend. But Mr. Buller might be able to address that as well.
And this will, of course, occur as the years move on.
In fact, I believe, Mr. Chairman, it occurs in 2012. I believe the filing deadline is a Saturday.
Mr. Chair.
President Grunberg.
Thank you. If the members could look on page 4, line 1, the question is, should we change the date June 2 to, quote, the day following the filing deadline, unquote, and take an amendment on that? And, Mr. Chair, if I may ask Mr. Bullard.
Mr. Bullard, are you there?
Through the chair, yes, I am.
Reverend Grunberg has a question for you.
Mr. Bullard, you heard Ms. Fenumia's comment. What would you think about changing June 2, taking a conceptual amendment to change that to, quote, the day following the filing deadline? Do you see any legal problem with that?
Through the chair, Representative Grunberg, I see no legal issues with that.
Could I offer the
amendment? Okay. Would you like to move an amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Let me ask Mr. Peterson, would that?
That's
good. I would move an amendment number 2. And that is to page, and this is it all to the uniform version, of course. Page 4, line 1, delete the term June 2 and insert, quote, the day following the filing deadline, unquote. That would be my oral amendment.
Okay. Any objection?
I'll object for discussion.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you. Are you planning to make a separate amendment on page 3? Line 25, or are you going to incorporate that in this?
May I?
May I amend to the amendment?
No, Mr. Chair. What I'd like to do, Representative Seaton, is to ask Ms. Fenumia, do you think that we need to change page 3, line 25, to the same thing? I don't think so, because you say the day following the date of the primary election. So I think that's the same.
And that would always be on a Tuesday.
Right. Be a Wednesday, because the election's on a Tuesday. So I don't think we need to do that. So I would ask if
I remove my objection.
Okay. Doug, any other objection? If not, amendment number 2 passes.
May I just inquire of Ms. Fenumia?
Representative Grunberg.
Ms. Fenumia, you have put some considerable thought into the language of the dates and stuff here. And we talked also on Thursday, you and Ted and I.
Representative
what?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt everybody, but her last response was not on the record.
Would you repeat your response? Whose response?
That was my question.
To Representative Groombridge's question?
Yes.
Through the chair, yes, we did speak on, I believe it was Friday.
Yes, I think so.
No, the previous question about whether it was also needed.
Oh.
Would you restate the question?
Okay, this was an answer to Representative Seaton's question. The question was on page 3, line 25 and 26, whether we needed an amendment or whether the phrase "not later than the day following the date of the primary election" cures any possible problem.
Ms. Fanumiai.
And through the chair, Representative Groombridge. Since the primary always falls on a Tuesday, you don't have the issue with it be falling on a weekend or a federal or state holiday.
So
I do not believe there needs to be a change to the wording as it's presented in your draft.
No amendment is necessary.
Correct.
Thank you. Does that make the record okay? Okay. And I would like you to put on the record for the edification of the members of the committee and the general public why we determined the date to be June the 2nd and the date following the primary rather than June the 8th and a week or so later. Why you felt for the division's administrative purposes it was necessary to move those dates a little bit earlier, that it would have been very difficult to delay it. Could you please explain that, Mr. Chair?
Sure. Through the chair, Representative Groombridge and members of the committee, I consulted with the two people that we have in our office, full-time employees that are responsible for overseeing the publication of the pamphlets for the primary and the general election, and we are on a very, very tight timeline as far as getting the information from candidates, preparing it, sending it to a printer, proofing and getting it mailed and published, as well as translated into the two languages which we are required to translate the pamphlet in. And those two staff people felt very strongly that to push the deadlines out a week would really be detrimental and perhaps jeopardize the division's ability to get that information out as required by statute.
If I may ask, I know we put these candidate statements in. Do we not normally get them back to edit the candidate, and when does that occur?
Mr. Chairman, that is correct. As soon as your statement is received by the division, we begin the preparation of laying it out and putting it in the format required by the publisher, and you get a chance then, you as a candidate, to review that statement before we send it to the publisher, and then it's considered final once we get your edits back and you've approved it.
That's basically only for grammatical punctuation. So we can't change an entire paragraph. Can we change it with a brand new thing or why?
Mr. Chairman, it's my understanding that once your statement is submitted, the division then prepares it as submitted, and you review it for any typographical errors.
Typographical error, misspellings, wrong names, dates.
Correct.
But that's about it.
That's my understanding, yes.
Okay. Did you have a question, Representative?
Oh, no, sir.
Okay. Anybody else online wants to testify? Anybody else in the room would like to testify on this? If not, I'll close public testimony. Comments or observations by the State Affairs Committee members? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
If I have a comment, if I could.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I definitely want the bill to move forward. I'm going to reserve my DP in a column because I want to go back and reflect exactly what we're doing here. And the reason is we're talking $500,000 here every other year, and I just want to some more time to think about whether or not, it still could be improved. And so I'm not standing in the way, or anything. So, but I am, a little reserved.
Are you concerning getting some kind of amendment drafted to give it to Reverend Greenberg to be perhaps introduced at the finance hearing?
Yes, that's the idea. Sure, sure.
I think that'd be good. I think the concept is excellent. Okay. And no other comments, I'll entertain a motion.
I'd move CS for House Bill number 74, version uniform with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations out of committee.
Okay. Without objection, the bill passes. Congratulations, Representative Grunberg.
Thank you. Thank you and the members.
I think it is a very good bill, and I think, our next State Affairs meeting is Thursday, February 24th, and that meeting is going to be consumed by checking out the governor's appointments to Commissioner Administration, Commissioner for Human Rights, the Board of Parole, Police Standards Council, and APOC. And so please have any questions ready for that committee. Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It would be of help generally, and I'm sure Ms. Manley will do this, to get the resumes distributed.
I'm sure that'll be done.
They've already been distributed.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, thank you.
Now you do. Okay. Thank you very much, committee. We are adjourned at 20 minutes of 9.